Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus joins us right now. Steve, you like scary movies?
No, not really.
I don't see the point. Why would you want to sit there for 2 hours and get freaked out and be on pins and needles?
I agree.
Although that's the same phenomenon that occurs when I bet on football, so what the hell am I talking about? It's the same thing.
It is scary.
Speaking of horror movies, Steve, I mean, people in Pittsburgh think that you've got a real slasher film on your hands with these power rankings again, you know, just gore everywhere with the Ravens still ahead of the Steelers. Come on this show, you know what you're going to get here. The minute those power rankings come out, you know you've got the 420 hit with the PM team, and you know we're going to ask you, for as long as Baltimore is somehow ahead of the Steelers, how that could possibly be.
This week, I don't know. This week, I'm not sure. I don't know. I thought you were going to ask about my Bengals upset pick last week, but that... Thank you.
No, we gave you a pass on that. We have the attention span of gnats in this town, so the power rankings is the new shiny thing we don't like. You've already supplanted Chris Sims as the number one villain with these power rankings.
Well, because he doesn't have Big Ben in his top 10. Look, Chris has some crazy rankings, but not having Big Ben top 10 is correct. Big Ben's like top 15 this year.
Wow.
Anyway,
let me throw you a bigger shovel, Steve. Hold on, I got one in the garage right now.
Big Ben's top 15. Marquise is average. The Ravens are better than the Steelers. What else we got? C.J. Watt's awesome. I think the Ravens. Look, I think the bottom line with the Steelers is they keep coming back to the old Parcells adage that you are what your record is false. You are how well you've played, and I think the overall body of work for the Steelers screams like 8-0. Well, what are they? I keep putting them 9-0.
Yeah.
I know they're 9 now. I know, but a few weeks ago, I just had them at 10-0 in my head because that's what they're going to be. But I think their play screens like 7-2, 8-1, and their record's 9-0. So they've had some luck, or things go their way, or however you want to break it down. So that's just the bottom line. And power rankings, the way we do it, is different than what everybody else does, which is like, give me the 9-0 team, then you get the 8-1 team, and then I'll debate through the 7-2s. And the 6-3s, and that's how most people do it, whereas we just take all the data, roll it up, and say, okay, based off what we've seen, who are the best teams going forward? And that's just, the way it shakes out. And it includes past seasons, too. It weighs less, but past performance does weigh in there, and we have Baltimore's defenses being, really, really good.
But how far back does that go? You're not, like, taking 2017 and 2018 into account, right? I mean, what is the starting point?
I don't write the algorithm. I know the more recent the information, the higher it's weighed. I know that. I don't think it's going back to 17, 16, or 15 or anything like that.
My issue with that, Steve, would be how is 2019 data relevant to teams like the Steelers when they had Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges at quarterback last year?
Because the other players are still the same, right? They were really good. They were really good last year defensively. You would still want to weigh that for this year too. I mean, if you looked at our numbers on the Steelers the first four games of the season, it would have said their secondary was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But because you were using 2019 data that said actually they're pretty good, they're going to get back to that. Then you have a better sample of information. Football by nature is small sample size, so you do want to use as much information as possible.
Okay.
Steve, where does Chase Claypool belong on any list of top offensive rookies? Just top rookies, period, this year. Would he be in the top 10 for you?
He's near the top. He's a top 10. Yes, he'd be top 10, I believe, for us. I don't know. Did we just miss him on another?
I think you guys left him off. I think you guys might have left him off, too. Some place left him off the top 10. I just can't remember which one it was. So I just figured I'd throw that one at you today.
Would never be up. No, the tricky part, again, because we're going, it's production, right? And part of production is fumbling. He's got 3 fumbles. No one else has more than 2 for wide receivers. So when we're grading every single play, those get pretty harsh downgrades. So he's one of those guys where I would look at the grades and say he's got a very good grade, and despite having 3 fumbles, they're quirky plays. So projecting going forward, you don't expect him to fumble another, you know, 2 or 3 times the rest of the year. But he's been extremely productive as a receiver, short game, down the field. So, yeah, he's still really good. But from a great production grade standpoint, he'll be dragged down a little bit by some of those negative plays.
So to go back to Roethlisberger here, last week you guys put out the highest graded quarterbacks, and he wasn't included even though he threw for 4 touchdown passes. And I know that you guys dig deeper. You don't just go by the stats that show up in the box score. But here was part of that threw me for a loop, Steve. How would Deshaun Watson get a higher grade than Ben Roethlisberger last week? His offense scored what, 7 points? And Roethlisberger produced, you know, 30-plus points, and somehow your grading system had him below Watson. So can you help explain that one to me?
Yeah, I mean, it's just you go throw by throw, and, again, it takes into consideration the entire situation. Playing, a lot of guys have graded really well against the Bengals. So while we don't necessarily adjust for competition, like if you go back and see Baker Mayfield's game against the Bengals a few weeks back, he never had to come off his first read. He was coming off his worst game of his career, which is against the Steelers. Never came off his first read, just kept hitting open receivers, and he posted the highest grade of his career. And you look back, it's like, okay, he did well in this game, but it was against the Bengals who kind of made life easier. So there's not like an adjustment for competition, but the competition usually makes life a little bit easier. With Big Ben, it was a couple plays that should have been picked. One was really bad, and those are weighed turnover-worthy plays in our world are weighed differently. They're bigger downgrades, the worse they are. He threw one directly to Jesse Bates, had another one that probably should have been picked. So neither of those passes showed up in the box score. Turnover-worthy plays, things that essentially we treat as interceptions, even though the defender did not catch it. It was the decision, the throw, the pass location, whatever it was bad. Watson didn't have any of those. And then every touchdown isn't necessarily like, hey, huge grade because it's a touchdown. Sometimes it is a good throw. Sometimes it's the receiver doing the work. So essentially Big Ben, he dropped back 51 times. Forget the completion percentage. He just missed a lot of throws. It was one of those weird games where he would miss a throw on second down, make the throw on third down. Miss a throw, make a throw. Miss a throw. And we're grading every single throw. So while the overall result of moving the ball and all that stuff was great, throw for throw, Big Ben still left a lot on the table against a pretty bad Bengals defense. Does that make sense?
It does.
Did I justify ourselves?
It makes sense. So then in that vein, I think you guys have said this, so I don't think I'm setting you up for a gotcha thing. You would have Patrick Mahomes rated a little bit lower than some other people might, because hasn't he thrown like 7 or 8 of his touchdowns on screen passes this year, where I would think it's the blocking in the back doing the work?
Mahomes has like 25% of the screen touchdowns in the NFL this year. He's got 6, and the league has 23, 24, whatever it might be. So, again, I hate every quarterback, according to my Twitter timeline. So I hate Big Ben, Mahomes, Derek Carr. I hate all of them, right? Except Tom Brady. He's the best. But with Mahomes, yes, every other advanced metric from adjusted yards per attempt and ESPN's QBR, everything has him as the best. Where we would differ is he's got 10 or 11 turnover-worthy plays. So even if half of those just go the other way, he's got like 4 or 5 picks, a couple fumbles in there that aren't showing up in the stats. And then the screens. He's got 2 underhanded passes that count as touchdowns. Yay, box score, touchdown. It counts just like all the others, but it's someone else doing the work, whether it's Andy Reid, the blocking, or the receiver, right? So there's just context to it. Mahomes is an MVP candidate because he's awesome and he's played really well, but he's not an MVP candidate just because of 25 touchdowns versus 1 interception. Those people are just looking at those 26 plays and looking at the ratio and thinking he's been incredible, when there's some deception there.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus with us. Steve, give me, for our audience to humor us, give me, when you said 10, between 10 and 15 for Roethlisberger, give me, based on just the name, the guy that you have ahead of Roethlisberger that would probably cause the most people driving in Pittsburgh right now to go off the road.
Oh, I don't want to do it. I can't.
Please.
I can't do it. Oh, man.
So who would be
come on.
We have Daniel Jones graded higher this year.
Nice.
You didn't disappoint. I love it.
Oh, you absolutely brought the goods there. Holy cow.
Does he get a good grade for the long run against the Eagles where he tripped and fell?
Yeah.
I don't know what we
Or does he get a bad grade for tripping and falling?
No, you got to get there. He probably got a 0.5, like just a slight positive, left a plus one on the table by tripping. Look, just to get there, you know, just to get there was impressive.
Do you do the college stuff too? Steve, do you do the college quarterbacks or no? Is that somebody else?
I mean, I'm a part of all of it.
So are you watching some of the college quarterbacks?
I'm keeping an eye. I'm not studying them in depth right now. I've kept a close enough eye on them.
Because I was going to ask you, you guys put out your list today of college quarterbacks, and it's not a huge story here, but there's some discussion about, like, is Kenny Pickett going to come back and play another year because of the COVID stuff? And I went and looked at his – you guys have him just this year, and I know it's a wonky year with everything. You have him as the 37th rated college quarterback right now. That's not very good. Average,
that's
would you say?
Bad.
But that's not a guy that's going to get drafted, right? I mean, that's not a draftable quarterback, is it?
It's reasonable. I'm trying to – yeah, we've got him at 77, passing grade. I mean, it's a late round pick. I haven't watched him closely this year. I've always thought he was, you know, that gritty, finds a way to get it done more often than not type of guy. And not – I know he's been getting some draft hype, but I don't think it's anything above middle rounds, and I think that's probably fair.
Okay.
From what I've seen from him. But it's not a bad grade by any means. It's solid. There's
Steve,
a lot of quarterbacks in college.
Yes, there are. But if he's got an opportunity to come back and play, I mean, it sounds like that might be in his best.
Do I get to defend the Daniel Jones thing for a minute?
Sure. Go ahead. Yeah, please.
Well, Pony's a Giants fan by birth, so he's going to like this, I think.
I don't know. I want to hear it out.
I don't like Daniel Jones in general. Don't like him, but I'm not like a Daniel Jones believer or anything like that. I think he's a glorified Nick Foles. He gets hit a lot, makes throws while getting hit all the time, and sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, and you don't know what's going to happen. But I think what we do is separate the thrower, the passer, from the supporting cast and from what the defense is doing. So Daniel Jones is playing behind the worst pass-blocking offensive line in the league, and he's playing with a bottom five receiving core. So he's made good throws overall and had zero results for them. Or he's been hit while throwing or whatever it is. And he's not great with his pocket presence and all that stuff. He invites pressure, but that's all built into the grade. So the fact that he's graded pretty well this year, I think and the stats are terrible, shows it's not all him, it's everything else. And I think that's what we do well at PFF, is separate the quarterback from everything around him. And why you should trust us, trust the grades implicitly, and we're never wrong.
Who is somebody with the Steelers? Who is somebody with the Steelers? And it's not quarterback, obviously, but who is somebody with the Steelers that you think PFF would have a higher opinion of than, say, you know, as McAfee
Steelers
said,
fans.
Fans are like the brain dead color analysts who are doing games who don't really have any sense for the depth of things.
So we've always liked their offensive linemen, not named Pouncey. Mm-hmm. We've always looked at their entire offensive line and said, okay, they're pretty good. DeCastro, I think, gets a little bit more hype, but we've always had Ali Villanueva as one of the better, just good, solid left tackle. We've, through the years, all the Steelers' right tackles always seem to grade well, no matter who's over there.
Well, you guys were onto Alu-Alu before everybody else, I felt like.
That was the other guy. I was going to say Alu-Alu, when he's out on the field, has been fantastic this year. He's been not so great the rest of his career. But, again, I think it shows we don't have biases. We're not in there like, hey, Tyson Alu-Alu has 8 below-average seasons, therefore he must be bad. If he's playing well, he's playing well, and we're going to grade him as such. So he's playing well this year. Their entire defensive line has been outstanding. And T.J. Watt, we might be higher on him than even the stats would show. He has been really good, you know, the best edge defender in the league. So. You know, we like the Steelers just as much as we don't like them.
Well, don't tell the guy on Twitter that tweeted us in this conversation and says, doesn't Chris Collinsworth own PFF? Makes sense.
Chris hates all of your teams. Poor Chris.
I know.
I got to talk to him all the time. Literally 32 fan bases hate him. They think he's biased and all that stuff. Bengals fans hate him too. I mean, it's the nature of it. Chris is not biased against your team any more than any other team.
Steve, you're a great sport. Thank you so much for coming on with us. We'll talk again next week, okay?
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Steve Palazzolo.
I love it. I love Steve takes it all in stride. I love that he's now actively – he's moved on to actively trolling with some of his answers just to mess with people. Like, after the fact, he'll throw in one little jab and one-liner.
The Daniel Jones answer brought the house down, didn't it?
I mean, oh, all I could think of was him running in the open field against Philly and then just tripping and falling. As soon as he said that, I just started laughing. But that could be a division champion, Daniel Jones, the way things are going.
The best part is that, like, a lot of people who I know, like, who are more of, like, my father-in-law's age, that have, like, brought up either when we have Palazzolo on or when we talk about PFF, they, for whatever reason, easily confuse PFF and PFT. And, like, why is this PFT guy you guys have on? Why does he hate Roethlisberger?
Yeah, Steve Palazzolo and PFT comment are pretty different ends of the football analysis spectrum.
What do these PFT guys know about football?
I'll tell you what, PFF and PFT, with Chris Sims being represented both on everyone's you-know-what lists in this town right now.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.